This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to everyone for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. My name is Dr. Douglas Kelly. I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone. Hopefully the Skype gods are kinder to us this week than last week. That's what I'm praying for.
Well, make sure you use some of those sacrifices, too, because they've been good so far. So good to have everybody with us tonight. Welcome those who are listening live to the program, as well as those in the archives. Good to have you. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And of course, in addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school. You can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available, such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, hypnosis, and there's several others too. If you'd like more information, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Before we get into our program tonight, I'd like to do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the belief of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both the physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, including membership, please visit mchschurch.org. So tonight, we are going to be talking about really adversity, how to pull yourself up by the bootstraps when you have no boots. We all have times in life that we're kind of down and out and sometimes don't see much hope for things changing for the better. So tonight we're going to talk about some different techniques and ideas and things, perhaps help you to see things through a different lens. So that's that. If you've got questions tonight and you're listening to the live program, feel free to ask them in the chat room. You can also call in if you have a particularly challenging life situation that you'd like some advice on. You're more than welcome to call. The number is there on your screen. Of course, Dr. John Hightower is screening calls, so you get to talk to Dr. John, and he'll put you through to us. We'd be happy to assist in any way we can.
Doug, maybe a a good place to start would be to define boots. Mm-hmm. You know, like how to, when you pull yourself up by the bootstraps when you have no boots, I think you're talking metaphorically in a way that boots means information, knowledge, solutions, ideas, resources, and so on. Am I right in assuming that?
It's an old metaphor, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Well, how do you do that when you have no boots? In other words, when things are so bad, you're really at the limit. How do you recover from that?
And, well, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. But some people do not have boots.
Well,
literally.
Quite literally, that's true. Now, for people, most people listening to us, they probably do. So, you know, metaphorically, you know, times can get tough. You know, what's the basis of this program? Well, adversity's a part of the human experience. It's always around in one way or another, to one degree or another. And all of us go through adversity at various times in our life of one type or another. And if you take into account the last few years, the poor economy, the poor world economy, there's some folks who have really been hurt by that. They've lost their jobs. They can't find a job. You know, they've got kids. They can't do everything they want for their kids. Sometimes they've lost their homes. They've had to downsize greatly. Some have gone on the street. You know, what happened? What do you do? I mean, you know, it can get desperate, folks. I mean, this whole program, I'm going to talk very frankly. I'm going to talk very directly and very real worldish. I mean, I'm a real live human being, and let's just talk about it. When you're down like that, when life just throws one curveball after another at you, you get hits. You know, it's like taking hits, and it just slowly depletes your strength, your resources, your resilience. And you take one hit after another, and you wonder, gee, how many more hits can I take before I just completely buckle? You know, the straw that broke the camel's back type of thing. And it can get pretty desperate. We can get into desperate straits. I mean, suicides are up. I think I mentioned this last week, that in the U.S., I saw one news story, don't know the validity of it, but one news story said that now suicides outnumber car crashes for deaths of people. So, obviously, times are difficult. I mean, if you ask me, the last few years has been another Great Depression. You know, they don't want to call it that, but it's been a huge issue for a lot of people. It's been tough. And when there's no money to buy food or pay the rent or pay the bills, you know, you've got bill collectors calling, you've got people hounding you, you don't know what to do. And this is what we're talking about. This is adversity. This is when you're down and out and you need to pull yourself up, but you're not quite sure how to do it. And so that's what we want to talk about. I remember years ago going through some pretty tough problems with my late alcoholic wife. And I remember talking to my dad about it. This has been, I don't even know how long, 20 years ago. And we were talking and just talking about adversity. He says to me, kind of with a bit of a gleam in his eye, he said, "Don't worry, son. The first 100 years are the hardest." And of course, you know, it lightened things up a little bit. And you know, you think about it, the first 100 years are the hardest. Oh, my Lord, you know, what are we going to do now? Well, my question is, that's true for a lot of people. And they don't even make it 100 years, of course. Most don't. But my question is, why does it have to be true? Why does it have to be so hard? You know, why does it have to be so hard? I don't think it does. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight, especially starting out. We're talking about adversity here. We're talking about being down and out. Well, what is adversity? Let's define it. Adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. When things are not in their proper order, we experience adversity. If you think about it, and there can be any number of examples, but let's suppose that you lost your job, you were downsized, now you don't make any money, your unemployment's running out. Is your life in order? Is your financial life in order? No. So what's the result? Adversity. You can apply that to anything. Are you in a toxic relationship? Well, is it in its proper order? The answer is no. Is there adversity? Absolutely. So if you think about adversity in different terms, and you can kind of get outside yourself a little bit emotionally and start looking at this thing logically, it helps. So if you look at adversity as a state of disorder, well, what does it take to overcome it? Well, that's empowerment. And in order to become empowered, you put things back in their proper order. So that's the choice you've got. I mean, that's the what you want to look at. If you want to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you got to put things back in their proper order. So the question is, how do I do that? What's the proper order? Well, maybe it's getting a job. Maybe it's finding a different relationship or getting out of a toxic one. Whatever the case may be, it becomes a problem-solving exercise, doesn't it? You've got problems to solve. The problem is, how do I restore order to whatever it is, my life, in whatever area it is? So think of that.
Doug, I think some people, though, want the quick fix.
Of course
we are so reactive now. We're so reactive. We're so impulsive, spontaneous, that unless we relearn the skills of having an agenda and the daily efforts to get to that agenda, then it's always the state of defeatedness, don't you think?
I do, and that's what we want to try to change in this program. I want to talk about that because everybody's a little bit different. You know, some people, they get this adversity, they get down and out, and they get really motivated. It really motivates them to correct things, to get things jump-started, to go, you know, make it happen. Other people, when they experience this devastating type of adversity, they just bowl over. I mean, they fall over, they fall apart, it just depletes them. And so it depends a bit on what type of person you are, but whatever type you are, you need to make sure that you're looking at it through the right lens, especially if you're one of those people who just wants to give up. You know, look, I've tried, I've been fighting this fight for years, maybe decades, nothing ever seems to change. Well, especially if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you're experiencing continual adversity, my friend, I am here to tell you that, you know, the universe is knocking on your door, a.k.a. your head. There's a learning opportunity here. You know what they say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. You got to look at things differently. You've got to try different things, do things differently. If you want corn, you got to plant corn seed. And so often we end up planting wheats, you know, wheat seed, whatever they call it, oats, whatever, and we're expecting corn, and it just doesn't work that way. So we've got to look at the way we're doing things, our belief system, our values, our core values. Do you know who you are and why you are who you are? Or are you just kind of like that jellyfish on the sea being tossed around? Well, that's just the way I was raised. Haven't really thought about it. If that's your mindset, you got to stop that stuff. You're an adult now. You need to take your power back, which, by the way, is the ultimate panacea for anything that's really wrong. Take your power back. Reclaim who you are. Reclaim your identity. Reclaim yourself, your soul, however you want to put it. You need to know who you are and why you are who you are. Your core values, did you choose them or did you receive them through osmosis, through growing up? Well, if you're always choosing the wrong type of person and you get into these bad relationships, what do you expect? If you're looking for, you know, a reliable partner in the wrong places, well, you're not going to get what you want. So it really comes down to knowing who you are and accepting yourself for who you are and understanding that life is about learning. Life is about growing and evolving and making mistakes and making them gloriously. Man, I sound like a preacher now. You know, make your mistakes.
You are.
But learn from those. Learn from those mistakes and say, gee, what if I did it differently next time? You know, if we change who we are, if we change our beliefs, if we grow and evolve, it changes our energy signature, that vibe that we put out. You see, when our core values change, it changes who we're attracted to. And I'm speaking of relationships now for this particular example. So if we're attracted, if we've been attracted to a certain type of person in the past, if our core values change and we grow and we accept ourselves and we respect others and all that stuff, now we're attracted to a different type of person. and they're attracted to us. So now we are changing our experience. We are restoring order where there was disorder before. You know, you've got to know yourself, and you've got to be open to these learning opportunities. I had a thought, but it fled.
You know, we just had a comment in the chat room, Doug. Is this the same as version insanity? I've replied
yeah.
that I have not heard that term before, but I think it sounds cool.
Well, basically, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And that's what so many of us do. I mean, look,
yeah,
we've all
okay.
done it, okay? Bang your head on that wall, and, you know, and we wonder why all we end up with is a headache. You know, because we think, well, that's what's supposed to work, and we think it is. But, you know, I just need to recollect my thoughts here on this whole.
And I think, though, I think the basic premise of our society, and let's talk the Western developing society, is that if we do all the right things, we get a good outcome. And that if we behave ourselves and we commit to the job and, you know, we pledge allegiance and we, again, do all the right things, that there will be this promise that of reward that comes with that. And I think what we're facing now is the burst of that bubble, that may have been a belief system for a particular number of years, but it's no longer a valid belief system because everybody's figured out that that's not entirely true. So when we do, and all of us do, have an adversity of some sort, then we're having to rethink the belief system that we acquired through osmosis in our environment and getting real. That's what I always say, is we're getting real. Like, it's down to the nitty-gritty, get real. So
yep.
Does that make sense to you,
mm-hmm.
Doug? You know,
surely.
The get real kind of thing.
And that's what we're talking about. And that's what I'm trying to express tonight. Be a real-life human being. Look, we all know adversity's tough. We all know that we can get down and out. And frankly, we can get so down and out that nothing matters, and we might even consider offing ourselves. And that's not the way to go. Here's one thing. If that's where you're at by any chance, let me just try to direct your attention to the wonders of this world. Yes, you may have troubles and challenges that you're not sure what to do with. We'll get to that in a moment. But look at the world. Look at the beauty of the earth, of the stars. There's so many fascinating things out there. There's so many cool things to learn and to know and to do. And, you know, when you were a kid, what did you dream about? What did you want to be? What did you want to do? Revisit those things. Don't lose your humanity to the problem. You know, it's like persistence. Who's more persistent, you or the problem? Make sure that you are the one who is the most persistent. And there's a number of points here that I want to kind of go through that might help those who are feeling down and out. We've defined adversity, and for those joining us late, adversity is simply a state of disorder. Empowerment's restoring that disorder back to order. You know, another thing that can get us, this adversity or the being down and out can kind of creep on us over time, too. It's like, you know, you go into a room and it's got a light on. And just think about it for a moment. Slowly over time, that light just gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until one point we say, gee, this room is just not as bright as it used to be. Well, that's kind of how it can happen to us if we're not careful. We got to recharge our batteries too. We need to do things that energize us, that stimulate us, that keep us up on that cusp of wonderment of all creation, of the universe. We can't allow our problems to consume us. That is, that's exactly what will happen. It will consume us. They will eat us. It's like an animal eating another animal. You know, it just consumes us.
Well, and I think there's also the thing that steps in is the them and us. You know, when we're really bummed out, we suddenly isolate ourselves into that, well, that's for them people, and this is us. This
right.
is me versus them, and that isolation. So that them and us, which is rampant, I might add. We see it and hear it all the time. I think that's something that starts to kick in when we're kind of desolate or feeling very alone, is that isolation that separates us from the rest of humanity in life.
Right. And that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up for 2 points. When we feel we're isolated, when we get all this adversity, we have all these problems, we can feel isolated. But even taking that a little bit deeper, it's imperative for everybody to understand that we are all the same. We think, oh, they're different than us. No. Tell me about a time, or think about a time, and I hate to bring this up, but just to show you the power. Think about a time when you had a pet that you loved dearly that passed away. How did you feel? Think about that for a minute. How did you feel? Did you cry? Were you heartbroken? So was I many times. You know, did you ever have a time when you got something that you really wanted and it was a surprise, or you were able to attain it and just felt that joy, felt that happiness? Wow, I'm able to do this. Maybe pride in yourself. Do you remember a time like that? So do I. We're not different. We're human beings. We have different experiences. We have different families, yes, but all these things, we're people. And so we have to look at each other in that way with empathy. We have to understand that we all have had our challenges. We all had our experiences. And we can't let that cause us to be detached from one another. And I'm not sure I'm expressing myself as well as I'd like to, but be a real, live human being. My wife just tonight told me, she says, you know, you're direct, but that's not exactly an accurate word. Not direct in an abrupt way, but you're painfully honest. And not everybody is comfortable with somebody who's painfully honest. It takes them a while. She said it took me a while to get used to that. And I said, well, I'm a real live human being. I am who I am. I'm a WYSIWYG type of guy. What you see is what you get. I'm here to help. I'm here to do my thing, to complete my purpose, which is doing what I'm doing, and try not to take myself too seriously. And so we all need to realize that we're all in this boat together. There are no them versus us. There's us. There's we, and we've got to come together. So that's part of that rant, or the end of that rant.
You know, Doug, I think what you're saying is true as a humanity as well, and this separation, whether it's through a class system, you know, an employment system, an educational system, environment, conditioning, and so on, there's, you know, we've talked about this before, there are inferior feelings, superior feelings, and, you know, people with opportunity, how come I don't have the opportunity, and it's quite endless. I'm a bit of a socialist myself in that we're all entitled to the same opportunities because we all came here as human beings. We're all souls, right, that came to the earth, not just to learn, but to also contribute. And it's very difficult to be reminded about, you know, what your contributions might be, you know, when you're feeling that kind of, yep, anxiety and pain and the stress. But I think it if we can take out that what's my great purpose, which is largely from the media, I might add, you know, is what's my purpose in life? Well, your purpose is you're breathing air. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have to take some of these thoughts out of our minds to get more into words like what's my value and how do I value myself and what is my value for a contribution here? Because I, for one, get really tired about that I'm here to learn stuff, because it absolves responsibility for contributing and for a coherency, you know, as you're talking about the we, the us, we're all in this together. So it's, you know, just in keeping with what you're saying, there's many offshoots of thinking, and so it's to go through that checklist in a way of how have I separated myself and how do those people separate themselves, and to be reminded once again that we're just a bunch of human beings learning how to be human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's as simple as that.
So let's talk about a few techniques here that will help us to overcome that adversity, to put things back in a state of order. And a lot of it has to do with our self-belief, with our viewpoint, with our that lens that we look through. The first point is having a proper attitude toward adversity. You've heard this stated before. It's not what happens to us that matters, but rather how we react to what happens to us. That's the most important. And here's a crucial point to understand. Our problems have no life of their own. The only life they have is the life we give to them. And this is based on, it doesn't matter what happens to us, but rather how we react to what happens to us. Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century monk, made an interesting observation, adjusted for modern English. He wrote, "What hurt could it do you if you would just let it pass and make no account of it? Could it even so much as pluck one hair from your head?" So you think about our problems for a moment. We're behind on bills. We've got things we need to do. Whatever the problem is, it's rare that our troubles are so intense that they could yank even a hair from our head. You know, it's rare. Can it happen? Sure, anything's possible. But it's rare that our problems are that big a deal. We have to look at them in that way, you know, almost in an existential type of way. Yes, we have trouble. Maybe I'm behind on my bills or whatever it is. If that's the case, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? Well, it depends on what you're behind on, you know, if we're using this example. The worst possible case is maybe you got a car repossessed or you lose a home or something like that. Will you die from it? No. So you've got to put your problems in perspective. What's the worst possible thing that can happen? And then try to improve on that. That's a technique for doing that. So another way to look at our problems, are our problems, do they really matter in the grand scheme of things? Think about that for a minute. Do they? Probably not. Our problems are important to us, of course, but are they really the worst problems in the grand scheme of things? No, they're not. There's always somebody with worse problems. So we've got to get some perspective on that. Have you suffered a lot? Have you been going down this road? You've tried things. You've seen your share of defeat. Well, you've probably heard this little paragraph by Theodore Roosevelt before. If you haven't, it's excellent. And I'd just like to read it to you. He writes, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." So the thing I love about this little quote from Roosevelt, it really describes what it's like to be human. You know, this is part of our experience. Does that mean you embrace adversity? Well, learn your lessons from it for sure. But you don't have to live that way your whole life. Here's another tip on overcoming it. You got to learn the lessons in it. Really, this is a crucial point, too. In his book, As a Man Thinketh, James Allen very insightfully states, man is where he is, that he may learn, that he may grow. And as he learns the spiritual lesson which any circumstance contains for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. So if you are in the midst of troubles, of adversity, you don't know what to do, what is the lesson, the spiritual lesson? We're not talking about religious lesson, we're talking about spiritual lesson. What is the lesson for you? What is the lesson in it? Because when you find that lesson and you learn that lesson, those circumstances will pass. Well, it's very possible that we know what the lesson is, but the circumstances don't pass. Why? Well, that's because there's a difference between knowing the lesson and learning the lesson. And the difference is when we learn a lesson, we change. Think about that for a minute. When we learn something, we change. Maybe it's we learn to not do something the same way anymore. See, we changed. Now that gives rise to new circumstances. The old circumstances pass, the new circumstances come into play. And we've got to give it a little bit of time, too. It takes a little time for things to change around. So know that this goes right back to what I was saying in the beginning of this program, that it's our own beliefs and our own viewpoint, the things that basically, if you want your outside world to change, you got to change your inside world first. That means that you need to know who you are and why you are who you are. You need to stop just accepting things at face value that are important and really think about them. Think them through. Is this right for you? We all have that right and that privilege to make those informed choices, but we got to get informed to make an informed choice. So this is the value of education, metaphysical education, of evolution, of growth, personal growth. That's why you're listening to this program, is for this very reason. So learn the spiritual lesson in the adversity. And once you do, you change, and those circumstances pass.
You know, Doug, I think what you said a key word there, too, repeated, is the spiritual lesson. And, you know, if I can just address that for a moment, I have a mind that faith exists in the quiet of our spirit. And it's the spirit that has this will to persevere. And hope, on the other hand, is more human-acted, where it's a very active, hope is an active word. When I have hope for something and I keep going based on the hope, that's in the physical level, but that the spiritual level, knowing that I'm connected with all of the universe and that my spirit, the will of my spirit is here inside me, that is my faith. I have that faith in myself, if you will. And So to make that distinction between, you know, there's this real bond that we have, you know, this spiritual connection that each of us has in a body with a human mind. And, you know, we can access the power of that spirit. I truly believe this. It's the power of that spirit, the will and the determination of that spirit. We only need to access more of the creativity of being human. You know, it's because we are very creative beings, you know, where we are, you know. So it's that creativity in our humanity, and that's where I believe that hopefulness lives. And that's kind of how I make that distinction between faith, you know, people who are of faith, you know, and I have faith that everything's okay. I'm really saying I have faith in myself and this power in my spirit that I'm still here. And I think the risk is when people get very, very desperate and it's futile. And it's isolated, is the spirit, you know, it kind of breaks, it bends, and it starts to detach a little bit. And that's when that faith and hope no longer have a partnership. You know, so if we can see the view, and basically what we're doing is, it's an axiom, really. We're, you know, a paradigm, if you will, that we're shifting our view of who we are as human beings here. And at the most fundamental individual level, you know, that spirituality. And I know that MCHS and IMHS is, you know, a real advocate of our spiritual connection. You know, we're one with the universe. But without any application, that's what you said earlier, Doug, you know, you can read a lot of books, but if you don't know how to apply it, it doesn't mean anything. You know?
Yeah, right.
It's that actually living it and learning how to make changes and tapping into our creativity, that's our hopefulness.
Good points. So to kind of sum up what we've talked about thus far in this program, you got to know who you are and why you are who you are. There's no reason why the first 100 years has to be the hardest. Adversity is simply a state of disorder, and if you want to get past it, you put things back in their proper order. but that's not always clear how to do, so it becomes a problem-solving exercise. And so here are a couple of tips on solving problems. First of all, you look at the problem, you define it. What is the problem? What's out of order here? Not in its proper order. You write that down. And then you start to explore possible solutions. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like deductive thinking, deductive reasoning. With deductive reasoning, deductive reasoning is this. If the premises are true, the conclusion is guaranteed to be true. So take 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2, that's the premises. 4 is the conclusion. If 2 plus 2 is true, then the conclusion is 4. So what conclusion do you want? You can kind of mix this up a little bit with some algebraic stuff. Okay, what kind of conclusion? Do you want a conclusion that's 6? Then you got to change the premises, right? 3 plus 3 equals 6. So if you think about that in problem solving in a deductive way, you know what conclusion you want. All right, what's got to change over on this other end here? Okay, do you want a happy marriage? All right, if that's the conclusion that you want, then you've got to change some things over in the current one. Either rectify what's wrong or move on. Those are the premises. So when you're problem solving, ask yourself some questions like, if there was no downside, what would I do? If I could do anything, what would it be? Another question to kind of do a 180 on it is, what would be the absolutely wrong thing to do, the stupidest thing to do? Get those all down so that you can really energize those creative juices. Now, here's one of the biggest lessons that I ever learned in my whole life. After trying to solve a problem for years with no luck. And here it is, and I'm telling you, this is it. This is the biggest lesson I've ever learned, or one of the biggest I've ever learned. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. I'll repeat it. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. And that can be applied to a lot of things. I'll give you one example. One person I know needed a job. They had a career in computers. There was no work for them there. They couldn't move at the time. They needed to do something else. Well, there were some jobs available at McDonald's, but they wouldn't go and do that because that was outside of their belief system. Well, I'm not saying they should have. It's up to them to make that decision, but it's an example. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system, and you have to really search yourself, your soul, to find out, you know, where some solutions might be. And they could be short-term solutions. It doesn't have to be a long-term one if that's not the most ideal solution, but at least it will get you from here to there. So remember that, those points, when you're trying to solve some of these different problems. And don't forget...
No, Doug, I think...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in keeping with what you said there, too, that could even be get your emotions out of the way.
We have to,
If you're dealing with politics at work, for instance, and you've exhausted all of your own ways of thinking, it's emotions that are generating that, of course, because we're, you know, in a difficult situation. It's to push the pause button on the emotions and think outside of your existing box, like, mm-hmm. as you're saying, you know, outside your belief system. But the belief system could be in how you have tactics, what your tactics are. But, you know, I've encountered this a lot where people say, oh, I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, why not? Because very often they're acting on their own behalf, and acting on their own behalf in a proactive way is very new to a lot of people. You know, it sounds odd, but most of us feel proactive within our existing framework of belief or our own ideas of ourselves and what kind of character we are. And to think outside of that, I couldn't do that. But we can do that because we're acting proactively. It's just in an unfamiliar way. So it's just to take it right down to not just a change of job, but a change of tactic in existing situations that you're dealing with.
That's really goes back to what I was talking about in the beginning, was looking at things through a different lens. You know, changing, you know, what has to get back in order? You know, you've got to look at it from all sides. You've got to change your lens. You've got to reevaluate your approach to things. Another thing that comes into play and prevents problem solving and prevents us overcoming adversities, we tend to take ourselves way, way, way too seriously when we're in the middle of adversity. We think it's all about us. We don't realize that there's a whole world out there and there's a lot of people with a lot of problems. Not to minimize yours or our own, but we got to not take ourselves so seriously. We have to, again, remember that, you know, could it pluck one hair from our head? Probably not. So we've got to put those problems in perspective. We got to not take ourselves too seriously. And we have to be proactive, as you mentioned, and look for solutions. Look for those things. You know, I look back on my own life and all the troubles I've gone through and, you know, serious adversities I've gone through. I've been thinking about it in preparation for this program, thinking, you know, Doug, how'd you get through it? I just did it. You know, I mean, it was tough. I lost everything. You know, I mean, everything and everyone I'd ever known, because I left the religion and they all disowned me. And so everything I'd ever known, was raised on, was spoon-fed, you know, was, you know, I had an IV, you know, injected with it. You know, everything was gone. And I went into an existential crisis for a couple of years there and tried to figure everything out. I mean, it's just my whole worldview had to change. And it did. And I got through it. But one way or another, one foot in front of the other, tough times financially and emotionally and socially and every way around. But again, who is more persistent, you or the problem? There was no way I was going to be beaten by that. And there were some tough times. Just so look at your situation. Understand that you are greater than your problems. You are greater. You are miraculous as a human being. I mean, just the odds of you being here are astronomical, way beyond the lottery. You know, so it's a miracle that you're here. Don't want to lose that miracle. So how can you enhance that miracle? Get to know yourself. Choose your core values. Reorder your life in a way that is proper. And all of this builds character, too. And that's what will sustain you.
You know, speaking of character, there's a comment in the chat room right now. In your earlier example about working at McDonald's, being outside the belief system, it was sounded like ego in the way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure it is. But ego, I think, is a belief system.
Oh, of course.
You know, it's what you believe in yourself, and you wrap your emotions around that. And that's what, you know, I know someone quite aged who refused to give up her driver's license because she would never go anywhere. And I gave loads of other ways of getting around, you know, between the least of which is taking a bus or a train or a taxi or getting a ride. None of those things were acceptable because it meant she had no independence.
Right.
Well, really, the truth of it was that it was beneath her to take a train or a bus. Mm. It was only for those people, you know. And is that some ego? Sure, it's a lot of ego in that because of, again, thinking and a belief system that she had built about herself and other people. So ego, sure, you know, is it demeaning to somebody to work at McDonald's? You know, I don't know. Some of the nicest, most intelligent people I've ever met work at places like, you know, the hardware store, the jewelry store, God, if it weren't for the coffee people, man, I tell you, we'd all be in trouble. You know, you got to be pretty intelligent to understand coffee. You know, I mean, listen, it's a big deal. So it's just changing that view, but many people will not. And it truly is, you know, relative to how we you know, we see ourselves in the world. And, you know, I honestly really wouldn't do very well as a Walmart greeter. I know that because I'd be probably yelling at people more than I would be. Wait, you need a card for that, kid? You know, I mean, it's, my kids laugh that I probably couldn't do that job either. I think it takes very special people to deal with the public, and takes very special people to teach children and to work in healthcare and all kinds of jobs. It's an extraordinary gift. But if you think of yourself as, oh, well, you know, I couldn't do that based on a skill, then that's one thing. But based on that's beneath me, well, certainly that's a belief system you have about yourself, you know, in your in your ego attaches to that. So, you know, and I think very often when we get desperate, I would just like to add that it's really relative to what we're accustomed to. I know it's a belief system, but it's just where we're most comfortable. And change is very scary. Change is a very, very scary thing. But we find that the actual change isn't scary. It's the prelude to the event of the change. You know, it's all the stuff that goes on in our minds and the emotions that just wreak havoc. It's that fear, the anxiety, the stress, because we don't know. So
people fear change because they fear losing control, you know, fear the unknown, that type of a thing. And so it's why they don't want change. And so here we are talking about pulling yourself up by the bootstraps when you have no boots. You're just going to have to go get a pair of boots. I'm sure there's a pair laying around. Pull yourself up there. You know, listen to all the things we've just talked about and understand that you are the hope of the world. We are all the hope of this world. And we don't want to let that hope die. We don't want to let that hope go. And so the sooner that we are able to kind of get our ducks in a row, a.k.a. putting order back into things, the proper order, the better off everybody will be. We'll be, our families will be, and the happier we will be. There's so much to go out and do and enjoy and experience in this world. And you've got to revitalize that. Take your power back. Get your enthusiasm going. Get your hope going. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, don't lose those things. Don't lose that joy, that, you know, that childlike wonderment of the world. There's a lot of interesting things. Go in your yard and look at a leaf or a bug or whatever, and just it's a marvelous thing. It's miraculous. You know, there's so much to go and do and enjoy, and life does not have to be hard. It is hard because of the choices we make. And as we grow, the idea is to learn how to make better choices. That's really it.
You know, Doug, addressing that very sensitive subject of suicide, we talked about it at the very beginning of the show, and yes, the numbers are up catastrophically. I deal with people in these regards very often, and here's what I say to people who are contemplating ending their life. I say, absolutely, you have the power to do that. You have the power over your life and your death. You can choose that. You know, nobody would stop you if that's what you wanted. But there's two things I have to say about that. One is that what if you screw it up and it doesn't actually work? That would really suck, failing at something else. And the other is this marginal amount of curiosity that you might have about what's coming tomorrow, because suicide is final. It's a finality to it. It's over. And very often people who are contemplating that don't recognize that finality. So there's this curiosity. Yeah, it's this curiosity about how will this play out. So, you know, if you really think you want to, you know, check out, imagine yourself creating your own funeral, creating your own scenario. Go through this cathartic exercise of what that might feel like, and just be curious about how that plays at the other end of your scenario. And, you know, you'll find out that you passed through the crisis of where you were in the moment, and gee, there's something brand new waiting for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for other people who are the survivors of those who have committed suicide, and you're dealing with your own guilt and your own shame, anxiety, worry, and all the emotions that go with that, you know, there is no way to stop anyone in the event they are truly determined mm-hmm. to end their life. But I truly believe at some level, and not entirely, but at some level, we're all responsible to support and help each other, and, you know, as best as possible. Sometimes there are no warning signs, even though there's lots of claims that there are. Sometimes there aren't, mm-hmm. and this is just the way of life. And there's a huge loss. What's really important to know is that the shock and trauma to the body causes disorder in 80% of those who have survived the loss of suicide. 80% of those people experience a very serious physical illness within 2 years. So watch that you're not only going through emotional and mental healing, but be very cautious of the body and the shock or trauma to the body, that you integrate your own healing through your own process. I also say that some pain will never go away, and to get over it, get through it, sometimes it's just a ridiculous notion. We learn to live with pain. We learn to live with the void. We learn to live with the loss and the emptiness of that someone who's no longer here. So it's just, and I'll tell you, I've found myself, there's a handful of people, I've known a lot of people that cross over, but there's but a handful that it is as painful today in this moment to think of that loss as it was when it occurred. I've just learned to live with it and to move forward and move on, and knowing that I'm alive and I'm intact and they are part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so we carry that. Every experience is fingerprinted in the universe, and we carry that with us. So I just wanted to add it. It just seemed to be a good opportunity here to address suicide in a different way, mm-hmm. as I do in my counseling work, for people who are either contemplating or who are the survivors of that kind of loss. It's probably one of the greatest traumas to deal with, because people feel, geez, could I have done something?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have lost people to suicide. And, you know, at the end of it all, you just know that it is what it is, and there's nothing I could have done, because I didn't know at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I know better now. But what I know now may not be applicable in any other unique situation that I might encounter.
Right.
So we have to treat
everything.
That's right. So, you know, again, you know, there's a number that Diane has put up on the chat line. Might as well say it for the sake of the show. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline in the U.S. is 1-800-273-8255. I don't know it offhand in Canada, but I know that this information is very accessible. So, especially on the internet, anybody can get this kind of information who would like to learn more. And there's lots of support groups too. So there's always hope. There's always a new thing to come about. And Grandma always said, "This too shall pass."
Yeah, you know, my dad said that too, and that's absolutely true. You can think you're in your darkest hour, and of course, Manette always used to say it's darkest before the dawn, and that's true. You can think you're just, I don't see how anything can ever improve, change for the better, and then it does. So suicide's not the answer. It just isn't. It's not a way out, because for all we know, you're just going into the next chapter. You're not going out. And if you've got lessons to learn, you might as well learn them. And don't do that. That's not good for you or anyone else around you. So, you know, avoid that. The thing that you mentioned or alluded to was pain. And we need our pain. And we all have our pain. And that's part of the human experience. You know, we have our pain that we feel over different things and regrets and so forth. This is part of the human experience, and you need to accept that. Still take your power back. Still raise yourself up, stand tall. Just physically doing that will help you. And right now, Stand up tall. Sit up straight. You know, hold your head high. You are a human being. You know, you're a miracle. You're perfect and getting better every day. You know, a perfect work in progress. Be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. You know, don't take yourself too seriously. Learn the spiritual lessons contained in any of your circumstances. Remember that adversity is simply a state of disorder, and just find ways to restore things back to their proper order. When you do that, you empower yourself, you empower your situation. And by doing these things, the first 100 years do not have to be the hardest. And I hope that some of these different techniques have been of value to you.
Oh, Doug.
So, any other... Go ahead, Vicki, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Vicki. I think I lost Vicki, at least momentarily. I'm still not getting you, but if I do, I'll let you know. There's something wrong with Skype there. Folks, that's all I've got for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you've heard a point or two that will be of value to you in overcoming adversity. Hope to see you back here next week where we'll have another topic. If you have any interest in expanding your metaphysical education, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you'd like to get more involved with MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. Thanks to Dr. John Hightower for screening calls. And Vicki, are you back yet?
I hope so.
Oh, hey.
Am I?
You're back.
Yeah. I was saying that the hour went so fast. I mean, it
did.
I wonder if every material, the cup, so we look forward to next week.
Yes, and we thank those who joined us live and those joining on the archive. Hope you have a great week. The best of success to you. Good night, everyone.